The Lord Jesus is not simply the greatest preacher of the Word of God. He is the Word which is proclaimed, the Word made flesh who dwelt among us. The Lord Jesus is not simply a more excellent lawgiver than Moses. He is the law which is promulgated, which he fulfilled and perfected in his own person as he promulgated the law of love. It is this which allowed him to say in the synagogue at Nazareth, after reading from the prophet Isaiah about the Messiah and the presence of the kingdom of God on earth, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And here we see the central importance for both Jews and Christians of knowing and understanding Holy Scripture. In fact, that's what the first lesson is about this morning from the book of Nehemiah. The scene is Jerusalem. It's the very first days of the end of the Babylonian exile. The people are coming back to the Holy Land. Nehemiah, the political leader, and Ezra, the priest scribe, have as their responsibility restoring the worship of God in Jerusalem, restoring piety and devotion among the people, who for 75 years have been forbidden to study their scriptures. And so this magnificent scene is described, a day-long liturgy of the word. The people are assembled, the pulpit is constructed. Ezra stands up and opens the scroll and begins to read to them from Torah. They had been deprived of the word of God for so long, they begin to weep. Now they can hear the word of God proclaimed and explained, they begin to weep. Now they understand how far their lives are from God's plan for them, they begin to weep. The proclamation and the explanation of the Word of God is essential to their religious identity and to their personal dignity. And so it is for us. This morning we read from the very beginning of Luke's Gospel. Remember that both Luke and Acts are written by the same man, and that he was not among the 12 apostles. We don't know for sure, but it seems unlikely that he even knew the Lord Jesus during his earthly ministry. And so he begins writing to someone named Theophilus. The doctors of the church and biblical scholars disagree whether this is the name of one person or a general title for any reader. The name is taken from two Greek words meaning God and love, one loved by God or one who loves God. It was a proper name in the Mediterranean Greek-speaking world, but it could also be used as a columnist might write, "Dear reader." So anyone who loves God is interested in Luke's explanation of what he's doing and why. "Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us," Matthew, Mark, John, the letters of Paul, "just as those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning," unlike Luke, "and ministers of the word handed them down to us." Here's the reference from which we get our word tradition, the passing on of what eyewitnesses saw, so that in writing, even the written account of those who were not there preserves accurately all that the Lord Jesus did and said for our salvation. "For these reasons," Luke goes on, "I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received." The Catholic Church believes that all of Holy Scripture, from the first page of Genesis to the last page of Revelation, is God-breathed. that is, inspired, in such a way that cooperating with the human authors, God himself is the principal author. And for this reason, Holy Scripture contains no error in faith or morals. This is among the many reasons why St. Jerome, who translated the Bible from Latin and Greek, or from Hebrew and Greek into Latin, could say that ignorance of the Scriptures is ignorance of Christ. And when Jesus came to the synagogue, he was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, from which he read in the liturgical assembly, concluding, "Today the scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." Think about the people in Jerusalem who heard Ezra read that day. For 75 years, what they did there had been illegal. Even now, in many parts of the world, it is a crime to own a Bible. And in those places, giving Bibles to others is a one-way ticket to prison. And yet here we are, surrounded by the Bible, in every pew, on most bookshelves at home, maybe by your nightstand, even in hotel rooms. How often do we actually pick them up and read the sacred page and immerse our minds and our hearts in the Word of God? We're now in the period of preparation for Lent, during which each of us should begin to ponder what we will do in the 40 days of preparation to celebrate Easter with joy. I can think of no better Lenten discipline than deciding now to immerse ourselves in Holy Scripture every day. This can be done in many ways: by praying the Liturgy of the Hours faithfully every day, the Psalms and Canticles of the Old and New Testament, extended readings from Scripture and the Office of Readings. Another way might be to pray with the lectionary. Even if you can't go to Mass every day, read the Scripture lessons appointed for Mass each day. Another way might be to do a directed reading with a good written guide or a Scripture study group through one entire book of the Bible. Whatever means seems best to you, immersing our minds and hearts in the Word of God written is the single best way for us to know, love, and serve the Word of God enfleshed, who is the eternal Word, the Lord Jesus Christ.